pray about it. All right. Anybody else tonight? All right, we're going to let them be.
I've got a brother-in-law that is really sick, and my sister was taking him to the doctor. Paper yesterday, he lost all vital signs. And she rushed him to the hospital, and they run a few tests and sent him home. That's scary, but let's pray for him.
And as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion of the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel went, they saw the men, fled from him, and were so afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defile the Israel he has come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, taketh away this reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. Verse 29, we'll read together. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Thank you. Be seated. Our fathers, we come one more time today, Lord, to approach your throne to ask your help. Lord, we come tonight, and it is always true, Lord, if there's any preacher tonight, the Holy Spirit will have to quicken us and Lord, touch us and put some preaching in us. And Lord, we come tonight, we thank you for this good number that's come out tonight, Lord, to hear the Word of God. And we pray that you'll Lord, speak to us out of the pages of the Bible tonight, and help us to be able to find some truth that we can make applicable to our own lives.
Yes, Father.
Lord, even in this coming week, Father, we do pray. Lord, we thank you for giving us souls every month this year. Lord, we've seen people saved. As we start into this August month, Lord, we pray you will continue to give us souls for the glory of God.
Great.
And Lord, that people be saved so they won't have to die lost and go to hell. Lord, we ask you to burden our hearts and help us to be the Christians we ought to be so that you can use us to reach these lost people for Christ.
Yes,
and Father, I ask you to forgive me my sins, failures, shortcomings. Lord, I ask you to cleanse me from all filthiness, Lord, of the flesh and spirit. And help us to be a vessel the Lord can use tonight for his glory and his honor. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
David has come down in the camp of Israel to bring food, bread, and corn to the troops. He has an older brother down there. How many's ever had an older brother? All right, I didn't have an older brother. I am the older brother. But it said that David came down there, and he had an older brother, Eliab, who was down there. And when he saw his little brother down there, and he heard him talking and saying what he was saying, he got angry when he heard David talking to these men. In verse 26, as we read, he got angry about that, about this Philistine, and he starts putting David down. And you know, that's not unusual for an older brother or sister or family member sometimes to put the other one down. And he starts putting David down, verse 28, and he says, he talks about how that he needs to go back and watch them few sheep, which is a put down, just a few sheep. He needs to go back and watch them and take care of all that. But David asked a pretty good question in verse 29. David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Most things have a cause. I guess we could say that it's a kind of a cause and effect type thing. You know why you love the Lord tonight? Because he first loved you.
Amen.
1 John 4:19 said we love him because he first loved us. So most things have a cause. And I want to preach tonight about that. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Now in our scripture reading tonight, we see that David himself said, is there not a cause? This was a cause that moved David. It was a moving cause. When David went down there, David loved Israel. David loved his people. David loved God.
Amen.
And when he heard this Philistine blaspheming his God, it moved David. It was a moving cause.
Amen.
You know, we need some things to move us in our kind of today.
Amen.
You know, we kind of lethargic. We're kind of indifferent and seem like we kind of sometimes just go with the flow and nothing don't even bother you much anymore.
Amen.
And I've noticed that in society. I've noticed that used to you'd preach, and you don't preach to make people mad. But all back 30 years ago, people get mad about some preaching, and you can't hardly make nobody mad now. I'm not trying to, but I'm just saying that used to just straight hard preaching. Brother Eddie, folks would get mad about it.
And
witness and things like that, but it's got over in the church, and we kind of got a little, we kind of got that way. We're indifferent. Sometimes just kind of going along, wait for Jesus to come and turn it all over. Don't even fight the battles no more. But there ought to be some things to move us sometimes.
Amen.
And the Lord knows there's enough going on in this country right now that ought to move us to do something. Amen. We may not be able to do a lot, but we can do something. And I've had on my heart that what Jesus told Peter when they were there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And come back, and he said, "What could you not watch 1 hour?" Amen. And Brother Eddie, I got to thinking about that. Just wonder what God would do if all of us just give Him 1 hour a day, every day, all week long. Just give Him 1 hour. You say, "What are you going to do in that hour? Read the Bible some, pray some, go out and knock on the door. Just say, God, I'm going to give you this hour from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock every day. I'm going to give God this hour. Ain't going to give it to the TV. Not going to give it to the world. Every day you say, well, that ain't much. It's probably more than most people give you.
You're right.
Amen. Yeah, and just every day, you know, I thought about that. It moved me. The Lord said, what? Could you not watch 1 hour? Like 1 hour could have made a difference.
Amen.
Maybe 1 hour, us giving 1 hour a day might make a big difference. Amen.
Right.
Just praying and reading the Bible. And I don't know your schedule. I don't know what would be best for you. But once you figure it out, I challenge you to do that. Just give God an hour every day. Say, in that hour, I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to witness to somebody. I'm going to do all that 1 hour every day. I'm going to do a little bit of that. I believe God will do something.
Amen.
Well, it moved David, and David, and of course Saul, he sat back there shaking in his boots because nobody will go find him, and he sure don't want to find him. And he hears that there's a little young man down there, and he's saying, I'll go and I'll fight him. And he's desperate. He calls David into his office, and he begins to talk to David, and David says, I'll go, verse 31. David spake, rehearsed the words before Saul that he'd already told the others. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail him because of thy servant. Thy servant will go and fight with the Philistine. And Saul said to David, you're not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but the youth, and he's a man of war from his youth. And David was moved now to a cause. I'm talking about being moved to a cause. And David was moved to a cause. You say, what moved him? Well, he was moved knowing what God had did in the past.
Amen.
We look at verse 34. David said to Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. When he rose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. And thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God. You know what David was doing? David was moved to a cause because he knew what God had done in the past.
Amen.
He said, I know God's delivered me in the past.
Yeah.
I know God can deliver me again. Right. Always like that old song, God delivers again.
Amen.
Then he was moved with what he had proved. Saul said, all right. He said, I'll let you go. Didn't take much to convince Saul. Just so somebody go besides him. So Saul, being big, Saul said, he went and he armed David in verse 38. And it said he put his armor and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. And he also armed him with a coat of mail. David girded his sword upon his armor and he was saved to go, for he had not proved it. David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. Now, Jack Hiles said that Saul put all that stuff on David. And David's little boy, Saul's head and shoulders above everybody else. Jack Hiles said David put all that in on. He walked around about three times and never did move. He was just walking around in it. And he said, David said, I can't go with this. I've not proved it. I can't move with this because I've not proved it. But David had a sling and a rock, and he had proved them. He knew what he could do with them. So he moved with what he had proved. Amen. That's what I want to do. I want to move with what I've proved. I prove this old King James Bible's Word of God. I'm just going to move with it. Amen. You say, what about them other versions? I'm not going to mess with them. I'm satisfied with the one I got. Amen. That's what they was preaching when I got saved. That's what they was preaching when I got called to preach. That's what they was preaching when my family got saved. That's what they've been preaching the Word. That I've been serving God down through the years. I'm just going to move with what I proved. Amen. I tell you, prayer's proved to me that it works. I'm going to move with what I proved. I'm just going to keep on praying to the Lord, talking to the Lord. I believe witnessing works. I know we got all these new programs and all these new things that you do to try to get people into church. I believe that just personal soul winning, I believe getting out the gospel, I believe that will still work. Amen. I believe that God will still use personal one-on-one witnessing. God will still use passing out tracts. God will still use all that. Amen. I know they got all this other stuff now that you have all these different things to get people into church. But what's happened is that we've had all these worldly things to get worldly people into church. And we had the worldly thing. We got the worldly people into church. And now we got a worldly church. Amen. That's the way it goes. But what we need is just stay by the old stuff. It still works. David moved because of the past. David moved with what he approved. David moved with a purpose. Look at verse 46 and verse 47. And it said, this day with the Lord, David's done went out on the field now. Goliath's done come out to meet him in verse 43. The Philistine said to David, am I a dog? Thou comest to me with spouse. The Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me and I'll give thy flesh to the fowls of the air, to the beasts of the field. And David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, with a spear, with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of heaven, whom thou hast defiled. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. I will smite thee. I will take thy head from thee. I will give thee the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day, and to the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in heaven. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give him you into our hands. You say, what's that mean in the Greek? David said, you've had it.
That's right, brother.
Amen. He said, God's on my side, I'm on God's side.
Amen.
And David said, God's going to win this battle. You know why David won that battle? He wasn't doing it so David be a hero.
Right.
Amen. He wasn't doing it so that all Israel brag on David, though they did. He wasn't doing that to become a king, though he did. You know why David's doing this? He's doing it for the glory of God. He's doing it because that he wants all Israel to know that God is God. I'm telling you, David was moved with a cause. David said, is there not a cause? There's a cause today for us to stay at it. Amen. To stay on it. Stay with it. There's a cause today.
Amen, brother.
The Bible said David moved. Now look over to Matthew 19. Let's read verse 1 through 5. It came to pass, Matthew 19 is where I'm at, verse 1. It came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. Great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. That's why they followed him.
Yeah.
The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which hath made them at the beginning made them male and female?
Yeah, man.
And he said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and the twain shall be one flesh. You'll say, what's that, Brother Rick? That's a marrying
cause.
That's
right, Brother Rick. Amen.
The Bible said there's a cause for people to get married. That's what that scripture says.
That's
amen.
Right.
Do you know God set this thing up?
He did.
This wasn't man's idea. It wasn't Adam's idea. It wasn't Eve's idea. No, sir. This was God's idea.
Amen.
God had a cause.
Yeah.
And, when he started this thing from the beginning, God
amen.
Had a cause. Let's look back at Genesis 1. And
bless him, Lord.
Look at verse 28. And the Bible said, God blessed them, that be Adam and Eve. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God said, be fruitful, and multiply, God
amen.
Said. One of the reasons that God has set up marriage the way he has is God has done it for reproduction.
Right.
God said, be fruitful and multiply.
Amen.
The only one living at that time was Adam and Eve. And God's wanting to populate the earth. And God, Adam can't do it without Eve.
Bless him, Lord.
And Eve can't do it without Adam.
Bless him, Lord.
And so the Bible said God brought them together.
Yeah.
I like it when God brings them together.
Amen. Amen.
You say, what do you call that when God brings a man and a woman together? Marriage made in heaven. Amen.
Right.
But even if a marriage is made in heaven, the maintenance has still got to be kept up on earth.
Amen. Yeah, man, brother.
If it ain't, it'll have trouble. You'll falter. You'll fail. You know, that one man, you know, back years ago, they didn't have the birth control and all those different things. And one man's his son. And his wife, they done had about 17, 18 kids. And he said, son, he said, you're having too many. He said, well, I'm just doing what the Bible said. And he said, the Bible said we're supposed to replenish the earth. He said, yeah, boy, but you don't have to do it all yourself. Amen. God has set up marriage for the purpose of reproduction. Amen. That's one of the reasons why that a man and a woman gets married is so that they might reproduce.
Amen.
After their own kind.
Amen.
You see, when we talk about after our own kind, we're talking about a believing kind, a saving kind.
Amen.
And we need more of them in the world today. What's happened today is that the wicked people have outnumbered the good people. What's happened today is the wicked men have waxed worse and worse, and the ungodly and those who don't know God, they're having more and more, and the people who know God are having less and less. We need to bring our children up in the nurture
amen.
And the admonition of the Lord, thank God.
Amen, brother.
Reproduction cause. Look at chapter 2, and verse 18. I started when I started, but I'm feeling a little better.
Bless my brother, Lord.
Verse 18, the Bible said, and the Lord God said, it's not good for a man that he should be alone.
That's right.
He said, it ain't good for a man to be alone.
Amen.
God said, I'll make him a helpmate for him. That's what he said, I'm going to make him a helpmate. And I know it's a little confusing because God made him a helpmate and she ain't about a house and home. God made him a helpmate and they wound up in trouble. Amen. They got run out of the garden, but I know God knows what he's doing. And what God was saying is, Adam, you're going to need some reinforcements.
That's right.
You're going to need somebody to back you up, stand behind you, stand beside you, stand with you. And God said, I'm going to make you a helpmate. Amen. One thing you'd have to say about Adam and Eve, that they stayed together. They stuck it out.
Right.
But if they had some stuff to pull them apart. They lost their home. They drove out of the garden.
Yeah.
One of their boys killed their other boy. They had some awful things to happen in their life, but they stuck it out. I think they really loved each other. I think if you really love each other, you got a lot better chance of sticking it out, making it. Amen. The Bible said that they stuck it out. God gave us a woman for reinforcement. Amen.
Amen.
One man asked his wife, he said, "Why did God make you so beautiful yet so dumb?" She said, "He made me beautiful so you'd love me, and dumb so I'd love you." Amen. God knew what he was doing. But amen, I tell you, God, a good wife is a helpmate. The Bible said, "Whosoever findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord." No man ever found anything better than a good wife.
Amen.
I sure thank God for mine.
Amen.
A good wife, they say the man is the head of the home, but the woman is the heart of the
Amen.
Home. And the children are the harmony of the home. So God puts it all together, and ain't it wonderful? Amen.
Yeah.
You see, most men can't cook. I know there's some that can. I learned to cook some. I don't do much of it no more. I used to do a lot of it. But when mama had to work, daddy was gone, and there's so many of us, and we had to, the older ones had to learn to cook and provide for the younger ones. And so I can cook about anything that I want to cook. But most time women outcook the men.
Amen.
Amen. And I tell you, women just got a thing about them. Adam was supposed to keep the garden and guard the garden, but I guarantee you it was Eve that decorated and dressed it. And I guarantee you, she said, "Adam, I believe that apple tree looked better over here."
Yeah, right.
I guarantee you that she was the one that kept it the way it needed to be. Amen.
Amen.
You see, there's things that a woman can do that a man can't do.
That's right.
Amen. They
Amen.
Can't do it. It's just not in them, or just not made that way if they're a man. Yeah.
You're right, brother.
There's some things that a man can do that a woman just can't do if they're really feminine and a woman like they ought to be. There's some things they can't do, and so they reinforce each other. They make a team. The Bible said two is better than one.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. It's a good thing. Marriage is a good thing.
Amen, Brother Rick.
Amen. I'm trying to talk Josh into getting married here tonight. Marriage is a good thing. Amen.
Amen.
Whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Obtain favor of the Lord.
That's right.
Get God's favor when you get married. Amen.
All in all. Amen.
So it's a reinforcement. But then it's for resistance. You say, "What do you mean?" Look over at 1 Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians 7. He's talking about marriage there. Mm-hmm. He said in verse 1, "Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, is it good for a man not to touch a woman?" Verse 2, "Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife."
Yeah.
"Let every woman have her own husband." In other words, you see, that's for resistance. You see, the Bible teaches, I know this is old school, and I know, you know, this is outdated in the theology of the world, but the Bible teaches that any kind of sexual relationship outside of marriage is not right.
Right.
Amen. The Bible says that marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled.
Amen.
But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge.
That's
what the Bible said. Amen.
Right.
We used to have a fellow that used to come around here, and he's a good fellow, but he had a bad habit of moving in with women and staying with them. And we had another lady that's a very godly lady, just an old saint of God, and she was friends with him, and he'd call her a lot, and she'd get on him because he was living with that woman he wasn't married to. And he called her one night, and she asked him about it, and she said, "It ain't right." She said, "The Bible said that it's better to marry than to burn."
Amen.
Said, "That's what the Bible said." And he kind of laughed at it and everything. But that night, that woman he was living with, that night they had a gas leak. That house blew up. It burned them up real bad. And I'll tell you, when that fella got out of the hospital, He hit the ground running, headed toward the house of God.
Amen.
You say, what are you saying? The Bible says that if you can't contain yourself in the sexual way, it says it's better to marry than to burn. You say, does that mean go to hell? No, it ain't what it means. It's talking about burning with lust. It says you're better off to marry than to burn with lust.
Amen.
And God can put His blessings on it when you're married.
Amen.
So it's for resistance.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I know it's old school, it's Bible. Yeah.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. It's what God says. It's what works good.
Yes.
Wouldn't our society be much better today if we obeyed that, went with that? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So there's a marrying cause. Look over in 1 Corinthians 11 tonight. And let's read verse 28. In verse 30 tonight. Talk about, is there not a cause? It says there in verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body.
Amen.
For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For we judge ourselves, we'd not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world.
Amen.
I talked about a moving cause. David saw something that moved him. We need a moving cause. We need something that'll move us.
Amen.
I've talked about a marrying cause, that there's a reason why that God said marriage is between a man and a woman.
Amen.
And I could get off on other things tonight, but I'm not going to do it tonight. I just want to say that God has a purpose and a reason and a cause for people getting married. But then when I read these scriptures here, Brother Eddie, I see there's a cause that causes people sometimes to be sick and weak and sleeping, or it means to die is what it means. Amen. I know that every time we get sick, it's not because that we have sinned every time. But this scripture here brings in, it's talking about the Lord's Supper. But it brings a biblical principle into play that will apply to our lives all the time, not just when we take the Lord's Supper.
Amen.
And he talks about examining ourselves. Amen. Now again, I know we're under the curse of Adam. I know that the minute we're born, we start dying. Amen. The minute we're born, corruption starts setting in, and little by little we're dying. Parts of our body are dying every day and being replenished. That's just the way that God made the body.
Amen.
We know that it said by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So if there hadn't have been any sin, there wouldn't have been any death. If there hadn't been any sin, there wouldn't have been any sickness. Let me ask you this. You say, I don't believe that. Well, let me ask you this. Jesus Christ, did he ever sin?
No.
Was he ever sick?
No.
All right.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
See, God made Adam and Eve, and I believe that if they had obeyed God and everything, that they would have stayed well. It looks like they would have lived forever.
Amen.
But sin came into the picture. Amen. And so I know, because we're under the Adamic curse, a lot of our sickness is caused by eating too much bacon.
Yes, sir. Amen, brother.
Guilty. Eating too many pork chops.
Guilty.
Drinking too many Coca-Cola's. Smoking too many cigarettes. One's too many, amen.
Amen.
Drinking too much alcohol. A lot of our sickness is caused by what we put in our body. But there's a principle here in the Bible, and it says that we can also be sick because that we fail to judge ourselves and confess our sin. Amen. I want to remember that principle in my life, because when I get sick, before I go down to the doctor's office, I first want to talk to the great physician and make sure that it's not some reason that I've sinned. I'm not judging myself. I'm not confessing my sin. There's some reason why that God has allowed this sickness to come in my life. Amen.
Amen.
That's what I'm saying. Listen, the Bible says here, it says All through the Bible, he shows a connection with sickness and sin.
Amen.
For instance, look over in Mark 2. Mark chapter 2. You well know the story, but I want to call your attention to one of the details. In Mark chapter 2, it said that again he entered into Capernaum, and after some days it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up and let down the bed therein, the sick of the palsy lay, sick man there. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there was a certain of the scribes and so forth. But we're going down there, and the Bible said, verse 11, he said, I say unto thee, arise and take up your bed and go your way. It's very obvious here that this man's sin was connected with his sickness.
Amen.
The first thing Jesus did was forgive his sins.
Amen.
When he forgave his sins, he got up off the bed. Amen. Can I tell you, sometimes people's sins are connected with their sickness many times. I know, I have known over 35 years of preaching, I've known an instance or two where that somebody had bleeding ulcers, somebody had ulcers, they had stomach problems. You know what started the stomach problem? They got mad at somebody over here, and they got upset, they got a grudge, and a big old root of bitterness sprung up, whereby they became defiled, and many others. And they're so full of bitterness, they so thought about that.
Amen.
That was so on their mind, that worry, that anguish, that bitterness, it caused them, Brother Eddie, to get an ulcer. And it's all because they just wouldn't forgive the person and forget about the past and go on and be whatever for God. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, listen, I'm telling you there's a cause sometimes for people being sick.
That's right.
Amen. Worth thinking about.
Yeah.
Give you another instance. James 5. The Lord said, is any sick among you? Mm-hmm. Let them call for the elders of the church.
Yeah.
Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Watch this. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. That was verse 16. We're talking about healing. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed.
Yeah.
The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There's an obvious connection there between sins and faults and the sickness. Amen.
Amen.
You say, what are you saying? Stay right with the Lord.
That's right.
Stay right with each other as Christians. Stay right in your relationship with God, in your relationship with others. Don't harbor bitterness and unforgiveness and all these things in your life. You say, why? It could be the cause. It could be the cause.
Amen.
Of why you're sick, amen.
You never see good day.
Judge yourself every night. Examine yourself every night. I hope most of you take a bath every night. If you don't, I'll probably know about it. But I hope you do. It's an old story. You've heard me tell it. It's been a while. But my grandmother was an immaculate housekeeper. My grandma Prophet, and she was one of the cleanest housekeepers I ever know. I often say that her bed sheets, I think she ironed them and starched them. I asked some people about that, and they said that sometimes the older people do that. But she would get in her bed, and it was just so white and so clean, and her whole house was that way. And she had a house rule. She had a house rule that you didn't get in that bed that night. Now, you might get by without washing the whole body, but you would not get by without washing your feet. Most time you wouldn't get by without washing your whole body. But sometimes if we had worked out in the field, we were real tired, and she might let my grandpa Stanley Prophet. She might let my grandpa Stanley, she might let him get by with just only washing his feet. But I remember one night he was tired, and I was watching him there, and I see him slipping around. I knew what he was doing. He's slipping into that bedroom, and he's going to slip in that bed. He's tired. By the time he pulled that sheet back, I heard my grandmother say, "Stanley, prophet, don't you dare get into that bed until you wash your feet." Amen. Well, I want to tell you, I remember that as a boy. You know, God lets some things happen to you when you're growing up. God does that, and he's going to bring them back into your life when you get grown in a spiritual way.
Amen.
I can remember one night, I started getting to bed, and I could almost hear the Lord say, "Don't you get in that bed tonight until you've made things right with me."
Amen.
"Until you've washed your spiritual feet and hands, don't
Amen.
You get in that bed tonight." You say, "What are you saying?" I'd say tonight that we need to examine ourselves every day, keep our life clean. Woo!
Amen.
Keep your account short with God.
Amen.
I pay them off every day through the blood of Jesus Christ. Keep your life clean. Amen.
Amen.
It'll add years to your life. You'll sleep better. You'll live better. You'll feel better.
Amen.
There's a cause for it. Cause for it.
Amen, Brother Rick.
See, the Lord said that you examine yourself.
Yeah.
I won't have to fool with it. I won't have to do it. He said, "I told you I don't want you to sin, but if you do, I've set you up an account here. And with my son, all you got to do is come to him, confess that sin.
Right.
And he's got the money to pay it. He'll pay it off. He'll take care of it through his blood."
Amen.
And he said, "I don't want you to sin, but if you do, see him." See, that's the way God wants you to do it. Do it every day. Don't build it up for a week and then hit the altar on Sunday.
Oh, man.
Do it every day.
Amen, sir.
Do it every day. Keep short accounts with God. I've got one credit card. I didn't have any, but the way things have gone, I use one, because when I travel, most of the time they want one in the motel or something. I got one, but I make a habit of paying it off every month. Every month, I pay the whole thing off every month. You say, why? I don't want it to build up a bunch of interest. Amen?
Amen.
And it just works better when you do it that way. And it's that way with God. It just works better when you just keep them sins confessed up every day, paid up every day. Amen?
Amen.
And the Lord says, judge yourself. And he said, because if you don't judge yourself, he said, I'll have to judge you.
That's right.
That's right. We read about it there where the Lord said to him. He said, "You judge yourself. If you're not, you'll be judged of the Lord."
Amen.
So you won't be chasing the world. With the world. Well, you know how the world's going to be chasing? The world's going to be condemned. He said, you won't be condemned with the world. You know how the world's going to be condemned? They're going to eternal hell.
Yes. Right.
They're going to be there forever. But you're saved. You're a Christian. You got God in your life. He ain't going to send you to hell. But you know what he's going to do? If you don't keep your life clean, God will chastise you in this
right.
life. And you heard people say, "I believe I'm getting my hell now." Well, that ain't true for a lost person, but it's true for a saved person.
Amen.
All the hell you're going to get it on this earth. And if you sin and don't keep your life clean, God will chase you and you'll have to pay for it on this earth. And you say, "What will happen to me, preacher?" Well, one thing, you'll be a weak Christian. We read dead. One thing, you'll be a sick Christian. I tell you, if you ain't careful, you'll be a dead Christian. But there's a reason for that. He said, "I don't want to condemn you with the world."
Amen.
Yeah,
that's
right. Amen. Yeah. Medical cause. Did you ever see so many sick folks? Used to have a little folder to go to the hospital. We'd go in years ago, we'd go in there to the front desk. They had a little folder to sit out when they see you come in.
Yeah.
Baptist, Catholic,
yeah.
Methodist, Pentecostal. And you could always tell that Baptist folder because it had more sick people than anybody else. You say, "Well, there's more Baptists than is anybody else." Well, maybe so. One thing I did notice, you know, them Pentecostals, they lean strong to healing, not with all and all that. I couldn't help but notice most of the time it only be two or three in their file. Made you think about it, amen? But what I'm saying tonight, listen, I'm saying tonight, that it said, "For this cause many are sick, many are weak, and many are sleeping." For this cause. Is there not a cause?
Amen.
It's a cause and effect. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Now look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Let's read verse 12. "And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord," that's who we ought to thank, "who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer," meaning blaspheming God, persecuted the Lord's church. Injurious. He hurt God's people.
Yeah.
But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, for whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause, I obtain mercy.
Amen.
We talked about a moving cause, a marrying cause, a medical cause. But I see here, Brother Eddie, a mercy cause.
Amen, brother.
Paul said that I was a blasphemer, persecutor. What was you before God saved you? What was you? A drunk, an adulterer, maybe a doper, maybe a thief, maybe a harlot. I don't know what all different things that people can be. I know what I was. I'm sure you know what you was.
Amen.
But the Bible said, for this cause, for what cause, for what cause? For the cause of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
If it wasn't for Him, we'd all be in hell tonight.
Amen.
If it wasn't for the mercy God showed to this old sinful fallen world, it'd done me burn out. Amen.
Amen.
But for this cause, woo, the cause of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
I know why God blesses me. It ain't because of Ricky Prophet. It ain't because of a good life or a prayer life and all that. That ain't the main reason God blesses me. He blesses me because of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He blesses me for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen.
For this cause, he said, for this mercy cause, thank God.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Paul said, I like that. He said, I obtained mercy.
That's right.
Yeah. I obtained mercy. Isn't that a wonderful word, mercy?
Yeah, brother.
Yeah.
Amen. God had mercy on us. God's still having mercy on us.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Right. Every morning.
I'm glad He's a merciful God.
Amen.
Right.
I'm glad his compassions are new every morning.
Amen.
Great is His faithfulness.
Woo.
And there's a cause for that. You say what? God had mercy on me. That's why we're here tonight.
Amen.
Because Christ Jesus died on that cross.
Thank you, Lord.
And suffered for our sins.
Yes.
And died for our sins. And was willing to come to be the perpetuation of our sins. Was willing to be the mediator between us and God. It's because of that, thank God, that you and I have mercy tonight. And it ain't because we're a Baptist. It ain't because we're a Methodist. It's because that we were sinners. And when we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Scarcely for a righteous man some would die. Peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Therefore, being much more now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath that is to come. I say hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Bless you, brother.
Amen.
And get blessed. Come on, preaching. He's supposed to do that old thing.
It's all right. Help yourself, brother.
Mercy. Look here. Say, why? Why? Look at verse 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant. Mercy, much grace.
Mm-hmm.
Much grace. Amen. I was dealing with a situation one time, and it wasn't a good situation, but after I did what I did, I walked back in the office, and I said to myself, talking to the Lord, I said, Lord, maybe I showed too much grace on that.
Bless you.
Boy, just like that, the Lord said, you showed more than I have.
Yeah.
No, Lord. No, Lord.
Amen.
I'm glad God's a God of grace.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Amazing grace, isn't it?
Yes. Amen.
How sweet to sound. Sometimes we don't want to have grace toward others that have fallen, others that have fell into the devil's trap. We don't want to have grace for them, but we want all the grace we can get.
Yes.
Amen. Let us not just be recipients of grace, but let us also give grace out to others.
Yes.
Amen.
Right. Amen. Much grace. And then he says this, I love this, verse 15. He said Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners.
Sure did.
Save sinners.
Amen.
Amen.
Most time this verse is misquoted right here. They say I came into the world to save sinners, of whom I was chief. That ain't what it says.
And I am chief.
It says of whom I am Jesus.
Amen.
Paul never did get self-righteous. He never did get back to that Pharisee he was before he got saved. He always looked at himself as somebody that was just shown the mercy of God, somebody that had received the grace of God, somebody that had a mighty Savior, and Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Thank God. For this cause came he into the world. This is why he came.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
He didn't come so we'd start a Baptist church.
Right.
He didn't come. He didn't come so the devil would have somebody to fight. The Bible said he came into the world to save sinners.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I'm glad I'm one of them sinners.
Oh yeah.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
I'm glad I was one of them causes.
Yeah, I mean that number that called out us.
Amen. Aren't you glad you was one of them causes?
Yeah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
I like that song Marla sang, because he lives, I can face tomorrow.
Amen.
Amen. A mercy cause. Medical cause, marrying cause, moving cause. David said, is there not a cause? I believe there is. Amen.
There is.
I believe there is. Father, I thank you tonight for the message that you put on my heart. Give me out of the Word of God.
Thank you, Lord.
It's always wonderful when God gives us a word. We go down to the house of God and if the people were to say, is there any word from the Lord?
Blessing.
That we're able to say, yes, thank God there is. This was the word for Sunday night. I don't know, Lord, who it's for. I know it's for all of us, Lord, but there may be specific parts of it that's for individual people, Lord. And I pray that each one of us would get our part tonight as whatever God would have us to have. And we can leave and go out of this room tonight. We can know that there was a cause in us coming to church tonight, and we received some things, and we're saved because of some things. We live because of some things. We're left here because of some things. Is there not a cause? Help us, Lord, tonight in this world in which we live, for the cause of Jesus Christ is still the preeminent thing, and we want to be a good soldier for the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's stand tonight. You need to come pray. You come pray. Christ died for you. Loves you. He's got mercy for you. He's got grace for you. As we say.
120. Yeah.
turn it back. Miss Mike.
Got a young man here that asked for tonight to give testimony at the end of service, so I'm going to ask Blake to come up here, and he got a testimony in his heart tonight.
Bless him, Lord. Bless him. So you can stand right there.
Well, I got a story to tell, basically, and I'm comparing it to God, and okay, I'm just going to start, but me and my mom was out in the rain carrying in groceries, and it was raining really hard, and I asked God, I said, like, I don't like being in the rain. Does any of you like to be in the rain?
Bless him.
I don't like to be in the rain either, and it was lightning and thundering, and sorry if I'm nervous, but it was lightning, and I said, God, can you please stop this rain? And it, as soon as I said that, like, I went in to carry in more groceries, and the rain just stopped. And I don't know how it stopped, but God just said, here you go.
Yeah.
And so I it thundered, and I had a feeling God saying, come on, I'm wanting to let it rain some more. So I said, okay, I got them in as fast as I could, and in no time, when I got them in, started raining again.
Amen.
So what I'm trying to say is, do you want to be stuck in the rain, or would you be like, would you want to be in the sun? And in the Bible it says God is light. So would you want to be in His light or in the devil's darkness? And when you, if you're an atheist, you're going to say, well, what do you mean? And I mean, if you're still in the darkness when you die, then it's not rain anymore, it's fire. And you're going to be in that fire for eternity.
Amen.
So, 1 John verse 4, I believe it says, God is light.
That's right.
So you want to be going toward the sun. You don't want to be in the darkness.
Bless
you. So I guess that's really all I had to say.
Amen. Amen.
Brother Ricky wants me to say when I got saved. So when I got saved, I was out by a pine tree that we have at my house, and I was hunting for frogs because, you know, I'm a boy. Why not go out and have something to do? So I bent down, and I went ahead and prayed, and I really didn't know how to pray good, but I tried my best to pray. So I prayed, and my mom was mowing, like she had already mowed around the area. And I'll get to that in a minute. But after I prayed, I found this metal cross. I left it at home, but I found this metal cross. And my mom was on the phone at the time. And I kept falling around saying, Mom, Mom, look. And she was like, here, wait a minute. And I was like, look, 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 look what I just did. And I had a feeling God gave me that to say, you are saved, here you go. Like, you're protected. So my mom finally found out, and she called Miss Max, and then I went to Skaggs Creek and got baptized, and that's when I was saved.
Amen. Amen. I believe that's one of the first tent revivals we had.
He come to that tent revival that day. He's, of course, a lot leveler than he is now, and the Lord been dealing with him some. And he got out there digging around that tree, dug that cross up that somebody buried there. And the Lord used that to make a unique testimony for him. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Good job there, Blake.
Yeah.
Good
Amen.
Job.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Anybody else have anything tonight before we just made? Brother Greg?
Greg, I'd like to thank the Lord for that, man.
Bless his heart.
You know, things run straight to me because I've been all this. You know, I had a pretty informative workforce. I probably spent a year thinking how I could get even with. Probably one day I walked in the office. I said, you got a minute? He said, yeah. I said, you know, I need to bury the house. He said, well, what you talking about? I explained it to him, you know.
Nice.
But there was just much relief. God told me if I do this, that my life would be better.
Yes. Amen.
You know, sometimes you just got to do things.
Sure.
When we first started coming to church here, I didn't know that much Bible. I told Cheryl one Sunday, I said, you know, they can go by the graveyard, sit on a tombstone, talk to my dad and daddy.
Listen.
Tell him how much I hated my life, but I feel better.
Amen.
You know, I know God heard it. I heard it.
Sure.
I know whether he heard it or not, it didn't matter. It made me feel better.
Amen.
Amen.
Bless you.
Amen.
God bless you, Brother Gray. Bless your heart. All right, anybody else?
I'm of the Lord, and I'm glad to be here with you all.
Thank you. Bless you, Miss Ruby Bill.
I just want to share something with you, you know. Last Thursday morning, Wednesday night, to start with, you know, I had those cantaloupe up here at the building. I bought a bin of them. Thursday morning or early, I went back down to Scottsville. I'd already bought a bin of watermelons, like 65 watermelons in there. Still had about 100 cantaloupes in there. Had 10 boxes of tomatoes, big box of squash. We went to one place. We came back, got some gas down at Scott's Market up here. We was going down the street, going towards the square. I don't know where to go right off, you know, but there's one street, you know, here in town, most people can sell a lot of stuff. We get down there just past where the used to be Standard Farm Store in the square.
Yeah.
There's a lady in a wheelchair, and she was sitting there at that drain over there on that side, and she had one of the things you pick up cans and things with. And there were two old bent cans right there in that drain. And she was sitting there in a wheelchair, and she was trying to pick them up, you know. And so I said, well, if she had been on the other side of the road, you know, I would give her a watermelon and a cantaloupe, you know. So I started around the square. I was headed out. Well, I'll go ahead and tell you, it's McKinney Street. But I started that way, and as I turned up on the square, I'd see it, you know, if I was on the other side, you know, see? And then something just came over me and says, you got a steering wheel, you can turn around and go back.
Amen.
I turned around the bottom part of the square there, you know, headed back. Dean says, where are you going now? I said, I'm going back to see that lady.
Yeah.
Went back up there, and she had turned and went down. I'm through there believing. I pulled up there, and I stopped. I said, ma'am, would you like to have a watermelon? She stopped. She said, oh, Lord, yes, it would be so good. So I got out, and on the car, I didn't see no way to hold it. I said, where do you live? I'll take it over. She said, oh, no, you can give me that watermelon. She said, I'll get it there. You know? So I got that pretty good-sized melon. Handed it to her. Her hand kind of stiff, like, you know. She had that watermelon sitting in her lap. I said, have you got some way I can put a big cantaloupe on there? She said, in my backpack. The Lord said, me and my little cousin said, we really like it. It wouldn't go in her backpack with her feet, you know, crippled and stuff. She said, I'll flip that pedal up and just set it down there. I'll hold it with my feet. She said, I can drive with my right hand. So I go on. I said, are you sure? She said, yes. She said, thank God for people like you, you know. I don't want to pray. I just want to show you that how things can work. I go out to Edmonton Road, and I turn in on McKinney Street. I go down there, the first little street that goes off to the right. And just past that, there's a bunch of people sitting on the porch. And I said, well, I'm going to stop right here. Pulled up there. They started coming down the street. I'm not making fun of them. You know, I mean, y'all know. They was coming down the street, and there were like 15 or 20 people coming from each side. I thought, well, I have a law out here directly, no blocking the street. They come down there. They started buying. One woman, she bought 6 boxes of tomatoes. That's what she didn't want, she said. There's some old ladies there that could hardly walk, come up there. A couple of them didn't have no money. They hadn't had their check. I said, I'd be fine, hon. Don't you worry about that. So when I left that spot, I stopped down there at two more spots. I had 11 watermelons left in that truck, and that was all.
Amen.
And, you know, I just, you know.
Yeah. We'll take him off your hands Wednesday night.
I got pressure.
All right, you can't. What Bill is saying there is you can't outdo the Lord.
That's right.
Just do what He says, and He'll bless you for it.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Bill, for sharing. All right, anybody else tonight? All right, turn around, give somebody a good handshake, give a good hug. We appreciate you.